The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what kind of king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation and ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Since I read this gospel, there's this little ditty going around in my head, and for those of you who are long in the tooth, you'll probably recognize it. Now, if you don't know what that phrase means, long in the tooth, ask an old person. Okay. We know. We've got the wisdom. It's going to die out with us. But so here's the ditty. Every party has a pooper, that's why we invited you. Party pooper, party pooper. You remember that? Well, if you read this gospel today, Jesus is a party pooper. What does he say? He says, hate your family, your wife, hate yourself. What kind of a party pooper is that? And remember, a number of weeks ago, he said, I have come not to bring peace. I have come to bring division. What a party pooper. I mean, we want peace. We want to love other people. We want to love our possessions. But Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to hate that stuff. You've got to hate that. Now, the real party pooper is Satan. He's the real party pooper because he wants us to believe the opposite. He wants us to party. He wants us to do our thing, whatever it is. He wants us to have our ways. He wants us to say, go ahead, you earned it, you can have whatever you want, don't worry about other people. Now that's Satan. That's the total opposite of what Jesus is indicating when he says we need to hate husband, wife, family, etc. What he's saying is, I, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. And if you want to be a true disciple, and a disciple is not one who just comes to church every Sunday, but a disciple is one who lives the Eucharist, the Mass, the Gospel every single day, makes it their priority, doesn't worry about getting down to Tops for a sale or rushing out of church to get the blue plate special. Now, if you don't know what a blue plate special is, you can ask about that. Okay, but a disciple is one who immediately going out of these doors says, how am I going to live what I just celebrated? How am I going to live what I just received, Jesus himself? That's what we're called to do, to live the gospel. That's what disciples do. And so they're not worried about all the knickknacks or redecorating the house or, you know, all that stuff. That has nothing to do with the disciple's life. And you look at Jesus. He was the perfect disciple. Did he have a house? Did he have luggage? Did he go on vacation? Well, he went to the desert to pray. Yes, he did that. But he didn't have all this stuff. He didn't have all these false connections with stuff, mammon, that would get in the way of his being the perfect son, the perfect disciple. So we're supposed to look at that and kind of turn our vision, whatever we have to do, and not just our vision, but our lives. So let me give you an example. It sticks in my mind because it's an example of what the heck is this all about. Years ago, 70s, I went to visit a friend's house in Long Island. And so I go into the living room, and all the furniture is covered in plastic. Some of you know what that's like. Why are you saving the sofa? Am I going to dirty it? But you know, that's kind of our mentality, isn't it? We got to protect ourselves. We got to protect our stuff. We don't want to bring in someone who's dirty from the streets. And yet, again, what did Jesus say last week? He says, when you throw a banquet, don't invite people who can reciprocate in kind. No, bring in the crippled. Bring in the poor. Bring in those who cannot invite you to their home because they don't have one. What don't we understand about that? Jesus is saying, take your middle class values, throw them out of the door, and start living the values of Jesus Christ. That's the struggle. That's the challenge. Now, we're stuck. I think in our culture, in this country, we're stuck. We're stuck with this idea that if I did this, I earned it, it's mine, and it's all about my comfort and my convenience. And yes, I'll give money in the collection, or I'll give to Catholic Charities, or I'll give to the Knights of Columbus, whatever. And that's how I live my life as a disciple. That's only the very, let's say, the first percent, perhaps. But the 99% is changing our lives totally to pick up our cross and carry it, no matter how painful it is. And it is painful, not like the cross we wear around our throats, but rather it's a heavy burden God gives us as a gift, not to push us down, but to make us realize what's true, and then to look at our lives and say, is my life in accord with the values of Jesus Christ? Not of the world, not of the world, which says something quite different. The world says, store up treasure for yourself in this life, so when you retire, you can do what you want. No, that's not Jesus. Jesus says, until you die, everything belongs to God and has been given to us so that we can show that we are truly disciples. So if you go home today, well, hopefully you will go home, take a look at what you have. What about the clothes in the closet? Do you need them all? What about all the knickknacks? Okay, they're nice, they have memories, but when you die, probably someone will put them in a box and put them in storage and they'll never be thought of again. But what do we really need to live lives of discipleship? What do we really need to live comfortable lives? Now, God does not say you shouldn't be comfortable. Dorothy Day used to say, everybody needs a little bit of stuff in order to be content. But do we have much more than that? I'd have to say for all of us, yeah, yeah. And we take it for granted. We've got empty bedrooms. What's that all about? John Chrysostom, as I mentioned, I think last week, would say, if you've got all this extra stuff, you're robbing the poor. Wow. Wow. Now, there's a saint who is saying that. But do we say that? Do we feel even guilty about it, or do we try to defend it? But the more we try to defend it, the more we're going to be saying to Satan, I like your partying more than I like God's partying. And of course, for God, the real party is in heaven. It's not in this life. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be joyful. But the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit is quite different from the happiness that the world says you should have now. So, and here's another, I think, problem with our church today. We're all kind of individuals. We do our own thing. We really don't connect. We don't really know each other well. We stay within our sphere of comfort as opposed to keep going out further and further, encountering people we don't know, finding out who they are, what their needs are, and then serving them. Because that's exactly what Jesus did, right? He went out. He constantly went out. He didn't stay in a building and expect people to come to him. He went out to them. He sent out the apostles two by two. He sent out the 72 disciples two by two. Go out there, bring peace to people, cure the sick, get rid of the demons. They did that. Are we doing that? That's the real life of the disciple. And I've said this again and again, we can't do it as individuals. We got to do it as a community of believers. What would it be like if each week when we come back into church, we could turn to our neighbor and say, you know, this week I went out to lunch with a person I met on the street who looked like they needed somebody to talk to. Or, you know, this second car I have that I really like, I sold it and I gave the money to a low-income housing program. I mean, can you imagine what that would do to encourage all of us? Because we'd be saying, if that person can do it, I can do it. And that's exactly what the community is supposed to be about. So you go back to the Acts of the Apostles. People sold all their possessions, gave it to the apostles to share with other people. They didn't think anything about holding on to it. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we've got more than ever. And yet we think we don't have enough, or we want to control it or protect it. But there's a choice, always as a disciple, the choice to keep turning our lives around, to focus on Jesus and what he says we're supposed to be doing, turning away from Satan, and being a true disciple that's constantly looking for opportunities, and they're out there in the thousands, to show God how much we love him, and that we are willing to reject and denounce all of our possessions in order to serve God better and better. So that's true for all of us and for each of us each and every day. We're supposed to have that in our mind and say, okay, what am I going to do today to show that? How am I going to say, yes, I renounce my possessions. I renounce whatever it is that gets in the way of my being a disciple so that I can truly love God and my neighbor as myself. That's the whole gospel right there. Love God, love my neighbor as myself. So we have work to do, a lot of work. But if we look at the world, and it is divided, and this I don't think is quite what perhaps God wants, but it is divided already, and there is hatred out there. What can we do about it so that those who are open to the Lord will hear about the Lord from one of us, so they too can say, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about me, not about what I like to do, what I have, but rather constantly going deeper in my life so that I can serve God better and truly deserve the title disciple. So again, as you go forth today, you know, just think about your life, what you expect, what are your comfort levels, and how you might shake that up a little bit. And then talk with other people about it. Say, what do you do about this? What would you like to do? I'll support you. You support me. Because as a community, as we grow in our discipleship, great things will happen. We will have an influence in the world on other people so that truly the love of God can come through our actions, through our lives, and bring other people to Christ so that we will be prepared when death comes for us to say, Lord, I'm ready. I've done my best to be your disciple, and I want to be with you for all eternity. That's the offer God gives all of us, and it's up to us each and every day to say, yes, Lord, that's what I want, and then to live it each and every day.